do one keynote on the Holocaust like we do each and every year. When we think of survivors of the Holocaust and how it defined their lives and the whole rest of their lives. We've suffered so many devastations in our history, so many destructions, and we've read about so many of them. But none of them seem to have been of the magnitude. Over 6 million Jews murdered by the Germans, Yimach Shemam. We can't even comprehend the scope of it. Rabbi Gladstein quotes two episodes. One from a Daniel Goldhagen wrote a book called Hitler's Willing Executioners. And he quotes a death march survivor who writes as follows. One night during a forced death march, we stopped near the town of Gardelegen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. We lay down in a field and several Germans went to consult about what they should do. They returned with a lot of young people from the Hitler Youth and with members of the police force from the town. They chased us all into a large barn. There were between 5,000 and 6,000 of us. And the wall of the barn collapsed from the pressure of the mass of people. Many of us fled. The Germans poured out petrol and set the barn on fire. Several thousand people were burned alive. Those of us who had managed to escape lay down in the nearby woods and heard the heart-rending screams of the victims. This was April 13th, 1945. One day later, the place was conquered by Eisenhower's army. When the Americans got there, the bodies were still burning. Can you imagine? You can't imagine. How did people continue to live after surviving, seeing something like that? Seeing their brothers and sisters burned alive and then having the knowledge and hindsight that it was one day away. There's a transcript of Rivka Vasilowska, her testimony at the Eichmann trial. They say that her testimony shattered the courtroom, that you could hear loud sobbing from the audience. Tears flowed freely from many eyes. And she said, the Jewish quarter was suddenly surrounded by hundreds of SS men who, with shouts and whiplashes, ordered all the Jews out of their homes. They were chased like animals to the central square of the town where they were kept until the next morning, without food or water. I did not believe they would kill us. I hoped it would just be torture. And Rivka stood there clinging to her six-year-old daughter. Her parents, grandmother, and sister were all nearby. The SS officers started shooting the Jews one by one, firing point blank into the back of each victim's head, and then kicking the bodies into open pits. And Rivka saw her father and mother disappear into the ditch. Then the Germans approached her grandmother, who was holding two little girls in her arms. She was comforting them, pointing to the heavens, where they would soon meet their loved ones. And in a moment they all did, all three were shot. As I stood there paralyzed with horror, Rivka continued, my little daughter Malka was grabbed from my arms and killed. From that moment on, I felt nothing more. The German who shot her missed and the bullet grazed the side of her head. She felt a booted leg kicking her into the ditch, leaving her to bleed to death or to die of suffocation. This is Rivka now. She regained consciousness. I felt like I was choking to death and desperately needed air. I lifted myself up from among the bodies, many of which were still alive. Some were biting at me and pulling me down. By then, the shooting was over and the Germans had gone. She described having only the skies above her head and an endless grave under her feet. She survived, but she saw her father, mother, grandmother, sister, and daughter all executed right before her eyes. Every survivor has a story like that. You know, it's a miracle that any of us are normal. And we were raised by generations of survivors. We were raised by children of survivors. It's a miracle that any of our parents are normal. It's a miracle that any of us are normal. the impact that that has on a person's life for the rest of their lives. I just recently gave a shiur about the Sri Deish of Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. He called the Sefer Sri Deish, not only because the Sefer was Sri Deish, but because he was a Sri Deish. And he lived a lonely and difficult life. Tortured and tormented like every survivor was. That anybody can go through this and raise normal families is really nothing short of a miracle. And it's always a reminder to cling tight to those few survivors that we still have left, because they are heroes, and there aren't many of them left. The highlight of my trip to Eretz Yisrael every year is visiting my grandfather, hopefully more than once a year. But Zaidi's getting older. He's not able to go through all of the stories, the episodes, the things. He can't talk in those terms anymore. Wants to be impossibly positive, and you see when a person gets older and they start asking the same questions a few times. You think of conversations that you can't have anymore. It's a generation of people we saw. It's a generation of people we met. These are the greatest heroes in the history of the Jewish people, and we got to see them with our own eyes. You mentioned before the Kleisenberger Rebbe growing up hearing that his father was jealous of him because he never got to see the Divrei Chaim. But we got to see these people. And if we have any shortcomings in our emunah, in our bitachon, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to have a question for us. You saw these towers of Emunah. You saw these heroes of faith. We have to use that as inspiration to build and to develop our own Emunah to the best that we can.